you know, to people who will perish, people who, you know, it seems like foolishness, but to us which are saved, as the scripture says, it's the power of God, and that's what really matters in the church and matters in what we're doing, is that it's not just about how we feel about it or what we want, but it's about whether the power of God is in the church. And it may seem foolish to drive far and come to a church and sit here, you know, for however long, and other people are just, you know, doing what they want to do, like this is their day off of work, or some people see this as an opportunity to work even more, whatever the case may be, but they don't see the day the same as we do. They don't see coming to church in the same light as we do. They don't see, you know, us communing with brothers and sisters and us reading our Bibles and listening to sermons. They don't see that the same way we do. They see it as foolishness, because they see it as a waste of time, because they don't see God in it. But us who are saved, we realize that it's the power of God. We realize that God is doing something in our lives. He's trying to do something in our family's lives, in our friends' lives, and in the lives of the people around us. So they see it as foolishness, but we understand it to be the power of God. And to remember that in our daily lives, when we're going through these things, and we're, you know, and sometimes you go somewhere and you're kind of singled out for what you believe or how you look or how you dress, and people think it's odd, but just know that, you know, if it's an honor of God, then it doesn't matter how odd you are. I think Brother Branham even said one time that, you know, if you're with God, you're in the majority. So you might feel like you're the minority, you might feel like you're by yourself, you're alone. But if God is on your side, then you're in the majority. You're on the winning side. So it doesn't matter how the world or other people tend to perceive it, tend to perceive what we're doing or how we dress or how we live our lives. But just know that if in what we're doing there's the power of God, then that's what we need to have our mindset on and be concerned about. In verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So it says, I will destroy the wisdom of this world, you know, And God talks of all throughout the scriptures how he hides things from the wise and prudent. He hides things from people who are maybe scholars or maybe the geniuses of their day, you know, from maybe the high status people, maybe he's from even the kings and maybe, like, you know, very successful person in business or in the athletics or whatever it be. Sometimes the people in the high seats of power, so people who are noblemen or people who are seen as, you know, rich people, celebrities, whatever the case may be, people who are kind of glorified in society. Sometimes God hides, you know, these things from those people. He hides it from the people who are just smart, because it's not about just being smart. It's not about being educated. It's not about being rich. It's not about having a lot of status or respect, but it's about if you can be humble and accept what God is saying in your heart and to come to God humbly so that he can receive you. Because the Bible says, you know, the way up is down, the way down is up. You know, the foolishness is wise, and wise is foolishness. So there's things that the way the world perceives them, it's actually reversed in God's eyes. The way that we sometimes perceive things, we see someone as great, we see someone as mighty, we see someone as, you know, maybe someone who's rich and do what they want, but really God sees the other way, where someone we may think is weak or foolish is actually a very strong and mighty person. So, because we don't see people the way God sees them, we see with our eyes, but he sees people's hearts. So focus on that. And he's talking about, where are the scribes? You know, where's the disputer of this world? And God have made foolish the wisdom of this world. So even, you know, science, and even Brother Bam talks about, you know, he's not against education, but his real issue was that people put so much on education. People put so much leverage on science. People put so much leverage on, you know, sometimes logical consistency in the way that we see it should be. But the word's not about that. It's just about, you know, if you can accept it. Because if, you know, if science says one thing, but God says something else, then you have to go with what God says. Because even in Noah's day, you know, all the science pointed to it. There's never going to rain. There's nothing was going to come out of the sky. And And they probably just, you know, they thought Noah was a fool or like whatever, he's just talking. And they maybe even mocked him like in different ways, and they made fun of his family maybe. But Noah knew that God gave him a message, and he knew that if God said it was going to rain, then it was going to rain, regardless of what the people said, regardless of what, if science said it, regardless of what was going to happen or what people said. Noah knew it was going to rain because God told him it was going to rain. And that's how we have to be. Is it's not bad to have an education or being scientifically minded or to have, you know, or even to even be smart or wise and prudent. But it's to remember to be humble when God comes to you and brings something forth. So it's not, it's nothing wrong with being wise and prudent or being smart, but it's about, you know, do you trust yourself more than you trust God? Do you trust your own understanding of intelligence or science or data? Or do you trust what God says? Because if God says a virgin will conceive, then a virgin will conceive. If God says it'll rain, then it's going to rain. If God says, you know, his name will be Jesus. If God says, whatever God says, it's going to happen. So regardless of what science might say, it's impossible, it's this, it's that, it's a paradox, it can never happen. But if God says it's going to happen, then it's going to happen. You have to continue to hold on to that and believe that even today. And sometimes we do look at the Bible as if, you know, these are these glorified characters that we can't be, that we can't attain to. And oh, they were in the Bible and they had, and, but even today we have to have God walking with us so that we know when God says something, we believe it. When God is, you know, brings his prophet on the scene and the prophet is prophesying of things that are to come, that we believe those things will happen because we believe God put the prophet there to guide us and instruct us on you know, what to do in this age. So it's not just about, oh, well, Paul, you know, he walked, he was a disciple of Jesus. Oh, well, David, you know, he had a covenant or all these different things that we may think. But we have to have that same promise today. We have to have that same faith in God today. And just believing his word, regardless of, you know, how crazy it may seem, how wild it may seem. But if it's in the Bible, if God says it, if God reveals it to you, you just have to be humble and accept it. Even if it doesn't make any sense to you, it's part of faith, is believing. That's why you can't fit. Well, we need to keep reading. From verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So people were looking for a sign, people were looking for wisdom, people were looking for different things, but it's just about being humble and accepting it. Because he's saying the Jews require a sign, and you know, and it's a stumbling block to them, because the Jews didn't believe that he was the Messiah. So even after the death and resurrection, Paul and the disciples were going around and preaching these things and talking about these things, and he's saying Christ was crucified for your sins, and they never accepted him as the Messiah. So that's why he's saying it's such a stumbling block. When he's going to these different places and he's trying to tell them, like, you know, Christ was crucified and he sacrificed himself for us, and they in their eyes it's like, well, no, we decided to crucify him, like that was their decision. So when he preaching this to the Jews, they're kind of, it's a stumbling thing for them. They're kind of confused. They're like, well, no, he was a teacher, he was a preacher, you know, he said some good things, but he claimed to be the Messiah, so, you know, we decided that he should be executed for, you know, for blaspheming. And them still trying to come to this revelation, you know, and of course Jesus will accept whoever will believe, whoever will, you know, be humble and think upon these things and, you know, and pray to God for a revelation, you know. And perhaps the people who truly got that revelation were the people who heard it and were maybe confused, like, no, that's not what we believe about Jesus. But, you know, maybe they prayed and said, God, you know, if it's true, if this is real, you know, reveal it to me. And maybe they prayed that for weeks, months, or years, and eventually they got to that revelation that, you know, maybe that, you know, it is true, that was the Messiah, and then he did die for my sins. And they started to get a deeper understanding, but it was through prayer and through humility and not through, you know, thinking they already knew everything and thinking that, you know, well, the scribes at my church don't teach it that way, or, well, I know what happened, we can prove what happened, it's in the legal documents, it's right here, we know what happened. But instead they just came humbly and said, God, if this is true, reveal your word unto me and I'll follow. And that's what God is looking for. It's not, you know, we get so confident in what we know, but and then we struggle to accept what God is bringing forth to us. So that's an issue where we have to just sometimes forget about what we know and then just seek revelation, regardless of how crazy it is, regardless of how insane it is. I mean, think about a virgin will conceive. I mean, who thought that was going to happen? And then the fact that virgin conceives and no one believes it, and then he preaches and he has signs and wonders and no one believes it, and he gets crucified and dies for our sins, and the, you know, Pentecost happens and people don't believe it still. So for someone who is really educated and smart, from the outside looking in, it just seems like foolishness. It just seems like, what are these people doing? You know, but for someone who's humble and approaches God humbly in prayer, and God will slowly over time reveal those things to them, that's what God's looking for. And that's the real benefit. So to just watch how we approach things, even if, you know, we come with a brother or sister that we disagree with in something, or they're trying to say something, but just watch how, you know, we approach that and say, you know, if I'm wrong, Lord, reveal it to me. If there's truth in this or whatever it is, reveal it to me. If this is true, and, you know, maybe something's being preached and you don't understand it, just seek God in prayer and pray for that revelation that He'll reveal the things to you. And verse 26. For your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty after the flesh, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. So part of the I love that verse. You know, He has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and to confound is just to really put a wrench in the whole thing and messes things up. Like God, you know, like it can't be proven by science or the intellectual ways of the world or education, but it has to. You have to come through by faith and by humbling yourself and being open to the Word and what God has for you. And because of in science, you know, if there's a confounding variable, if there's something that we can't test, something that can't be proven exactly, the whole experiment just can't be done. We can't even consider the results accurate. But we can't test God by our ways. We can't test God by scientific ways. We can't test God by man's ways. We have to test God, you know, the way he said to come, which is just to believe and to ask for revelation and to come humbly, and you have not because you ask not, and all these different things, and the way he instructs us to come through the Bible, because God is not subject, you know, to come how we want him to come. He's subject to come on his own time. You know, Brother Ben talks about how God is sovereign, and when God does something, he doesn't owe anyone an explanation for why he did it. He doesn't owe anyone an explanation for why things happen. And Brother Wade was talking about that. He doesn't owe anyone an explanation for anything. So we have to come by his way, not that, you know, he should do things our way, but we have to come by his way and be subject to his word. And that's part of the becoming, you know, the bride is submission to God, and how, you know, he would have, like the way Mary said, "Be it unto me," when she heard that she was supposed to be, you know, the one to give birth to Jesus. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." So that's the attitude we should have when things don't seem right. Maybe it's like, well, it doesn't make sense because it would happen this way or that way, but it's not about what makes sense to us. It's about the way God's bringing it forth. And Brother Branham even talks about in God hiding himself in simplicity. And God is so great, he can make himself simple. That's what makes him great. So many miss him in the simplicity, simple ways that he hides himself. Now we know that man cannot do this. Man cannot make himself great enough to be simple. So now what makes God so great is because he can be so simple, and God does not reveal himself in greatness as we call greatness. So, you know, when man wants to be great, he gets a lot of money, he gets maybe a lot of cars, he gets a big house, but God isn't in those things. God is in the simple things. And that's Brother Ram saying, that's what makes God great, is that he doesn't have to build up this huge thing. He doesn't have to build up this presence about him, or this aura, or this persona, but he's just him. He's just himself. And he doesn't have to make anything of himself. He just comes simply, he just comes to a woman at the well, he comes to a shepherd boy, he comes to just a man providing for his family, a farmer. He just comes in a humble way to humble people and reveals his word to them. And sometimes, you know, we look at people in the Bible and it looks like they don't always do the best things, you know. The disciples are cutting ears off and they're zealous and sometimes they want to fight and they're criticizing, you know, like the woman who washes his feet with oil, with her oil in her hair and all that. And they're criticizing certain things, and sometimes it seems like, well, are these really the right people? You know, because you see the characteristics, and even the Pharisees were looking at Jesus and who he's talking to, and the people he's talking to and hanging out with, and they're criticizing, like, this seems odd. Like, why is he with these people? Like it seems so unholy that he would talk to these people. But, you know, Jesus was there for the sick people. He was there to help people who were, you know, in need. And sometimes, you know, we need to watch that in our personal lives, because then it's, you know, there's so many situations in churches and things like that where people are, you know, very judgmental. Even the way we are judgmental to not just each other, but to people who aren't believers, to people who are outside, you know, of the word, and maybe they don't believe the Bible, but they see us and they wonder, you know, what we believe, or maybe they don't. But even how we treat people, you know, even if there's a sinner out there, or someone who dresses, you know, doesn't dress according to the gospel, maybe they have sin in their life, maybe they're an alcoholic, they may be gay, they may whatever they have, whatever's going on in their life, we have to be not judgmental and not to be, you know, try to be wise and prudent and try to be too prideful to just talk to someone and approach someone and to let God use us to maybe bless someone in their life, you know, no matter who it is, no matter what they look like, no matter what they believe. We can't be too prideful to talk to someone, because that could lead them closer to Christ. You know, that you may be uncomfortable with maybe who they are, or what they do, or how they dress, or what they say, but maybe you just being open and being humble enough to just talk to them could get them closer to Christ. So, and sometimes people get too caught up in the judgment part of it, but it's not our job to be, you know, judging people. And judgment's going to come one way or another, and it's not going to be our job, you know, because judgment is the Lord's, vengeance is the Lord's. But our job is to just be open and to be vessels of God, so that when people walk up to us and talk to us about what we believe, that we know enough to maybe guide them in the right direction, or to explain what we believe, and to be a good example. Because I don't know if I've told this story before, but there was a brother in Pennsylvania where he used to be Amish, and there's a lot of times where, you know, you grow up in the Amish church, and he was criticized a lot in the Amish church, and he was very uncomfortable, and he always felt like, you know, it was a very, like, hostile environment. But when he came to a Methodist church, he just felt so, like, at home. He felt welcomed, he felt loved, you know. He felt like they made him feel welcomed, you know. They didn't treat him different because he was Amish. They didn't look down on him because he was Amish. They didn't, you know, look at him strangely, but they just welcomed him in. They just talked to him, just being open to talk to him and tell him what they believe, and just being a good example of Christians. And that's really what brought him into the church, was when he realized he would go to the Methodist church and he would go to the Amish church, and realized he always felt so much more, you know, like closed up in the Amish church. He felt more like under pressure. He felt criticized all the time. But in the Methodist church, even though they didn't compromise their beliefs, they didn't compromise what they were teaching, they didn't compromise the word, you know, that they didn't say, oh, it's okay to be on, it's okay to, you know, believe the way you are, it's okay to be in sin. They didn't say any of that, but they just made them feel loved. They stood on what they believed, they stood firm on it. They said, well, this is right, this is wrong, and that's what the Bible says, and that's what we believe. But they also weren't hostile towards him about it. They weren't critical towards him about it. They stood on what they believed, and then they were kind to him and welcoming to him. And sometimes we forget to do that part. We remember to stand on what we believe, but sometimes we forget to be kind to people and to be open to talking to anyone about anything, you know, that they may need, or if they want to learn more, we can't refuse people. To, you know, because Jesus, when he was here, he would talk to anyone. It doesn't matter what they believe, if they were a prostitute, if they were a tax collector, whatever, if they're a debt collector, whatever their job was, whatever their profession was, it didn't matter. He would he was willing to talk to anyone. That's why the Bible says, you know, whosoever will believe, you know. So whosoever will, it's not, well, you know, the high priest of the Jews and or the Pharisees or the people who have studied the Bible for at least this much time, or but it's whosoever will believe, whoever's humble enough to just read the word and accept it and to see God in his greatness that he's hidden in simplicity. So simple that the people who are, you know, trying to think of things so complexly that they kind of miss it, they over-intellectualize it, they overthink it, they over-complicate it, but it's just whosoever will believe. And if we can just humble ourselves to be, you know, to just accept God where he is and accept his promises, you know, and then to just to be accepting with other people the way he was accepting to us, regardless of how many sins we had or whatever was going on in our lives. And I think that's really, that'll be a benefit to us and to others as we're supposed to bear fruit for others as well. Brother Bram says, and we're living in that age, and more we probe into science, further we get away from God. We'll never be able to scientifically prove God, and the whole Christian armor is absolutely supernatural. There's nothing natural. If you can prove God, then there's no more need of faith. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's by faith. The whole Christian armor is faith. So people always look for proof and they look for different things, but the whole experience, the whole Christian armor is faith, as Brother Brennan is saying. And there's no provable part of that, you know, of love and all these different feelings and the different armor of God and those different aspects of God. You know, it's not that we need to scientifically prove those things, but we need to accept those things and come by faith. And then these things will be revealed to us, you know. So that's why it seems so crazy to people who only think in the scientific world, because they don't see any proof in it. They don't see that it can be put through a process. And it's because God's not going to subject himself to those ways of proof, but he sets the standards for what is proof. And that's why, you know, the Bible says faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance. If you have faith, it is just as real. It is real once you have faith. But, you know, of course, a scientist could never believe that, because you can't scientifically prove things by faith. You can't scientifically prove things by just believing them. So, you know, it's like she said, that he's hidden himself from the wise and prudent, from the people who see things so complexly, people who maybe have 10 PhDs, who've been to school for all their life, and they've been studying and practicing, but it's not about how smart you are, how intellectual you are, but it's about how humble you are and how willing you are to receive it. And if you can just believe on faith on what God said. So God bless you. Dismissed.